Somewhere in outer space, God has prepared a place, but it's for them who trust Him and obey. And although we don't know when, Jesus is coming back again, and the countdown's getting lower.
And that is soul-saving music by my guest today. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please like, follow, comment, and subscribe right now so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting podcast. And my guest today is Tony Award-nominated musician, extraordinaire, songwriter, producer, husband, father, and child of the Most High King, Rodney East. And Rodney is an incredible instrument of God. His gift is just phenomenal. Rodney also serves as Yolanda Adams' music director. He's got his own production company. His latest release is Him and I. And the hymn is spelled H-Y-M-N. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Like those hymns. And I. And the single is He's a Wonder. Rodney East, welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, dear.
Hey, how you doing, Lynn? I'm so happy to be here. So happy to be here.
Oh, and then we are so happy to have you here with us to share your backstory and let folks know, who is Rodney East? Where does Rodney East come from?
Rodney is a simple man of God, you know, growing up in the church. You know, my dad is a pastor, so I'm a church boy.
Okay, so Rodney L. East, to be proper, is a church boy, y'all. But you know what, y'all? He is a gifted church boy, been blessing souls all around the world. And his music, to me personally, it just soothes the soul. Now, I looked at your Instagram profile, Brother Rodney, and I love that you have on there is the things that are important to you. You have your priorities listed up there: God, family, music, and then repeat.
Right, in that order, infinitely. That's all that I wake up each morning. I thank God for Him waking me up. I thank God for my family, and then I thank God for Him giving me the gift and the ability to create music. That's in that order every day. I open my eyes.
Every day. All right, then. As the folks in St. Louis say, every day.
Every day.
Every day. Now, I understand that you've been a musician since you were a little boy. So I know you're PK too, and then you're one of four children. But let's talk a little bit about you growing up in Chicago and being that musician. When did you find out that you had this gift and you were this musician?
Well, the story goes, I was 7 years old. So, of course, you know, every boy growing up in church starts banging on drums. So, of course, I was a drum at heart at first. But one particular night, my mom had took me and my two older sisters to a midnight musical that I'll never forget. And the choir got up and sang this song. And for some reason, this song stuck in my head all night. So by the time I got home, everybody was getting ready for bed. You know, my mom and dad had purchased the upright piano that sat in our living room out there. So instead of me going upstairs getting ready for bed, I had went to the piano and I sat down and I immediately started playing this song, note for note, in the key, you know, chords and all. So I didn't understand what was going on at the time, but, you know, my mom, little did I know, she was standing behind me crying like the whole time. And then when I turned around, I was like, what was you crying for? She was like, just keep playing. So I kept playing and it started from there.
What, just that simple, hon? It started and then mom saw you and she just encouraged the gift in you.
Yes, encouraged it right off the bat. Her and my dad, you know, they've always been my number one supporters and fans.
Speaking of your mom and your dad, now you grew up, you're PK. What's the name of your mom and dad's church in Chicago?
So it's Liberty Temple Church of God in Christ, right off 52nd and Halsted out south. So my dad has been pastoring over 40 plus years. So I pretty much grew up in church. All my sisters grew up in church. My mom has been a pastor's wife, you know, 40 plus years. So this is pretty much all I know.
PK through and through. Oh my man. just all through and through in there. And you grew up in the Church of God in Christ, Kojic Church.
Leadership of Bishop Ford. That's who I grew up under. Bishop Ford was our presiding bishop. He was also the national bishop. So that's all I knew growing up.
Okay, Bishop Ford, Church of God in Christ, and you honed your craft as a musician in the church then, didn't you? Playing in the church.
In the church. church every Sunday. My dad had me on the organ. So at any given Sunday, the mothers across the aisle over there would just stand up and start singing an old hymn that I had no idea of, but I had to learn it in each and every key. So that's where it started right there.
That's where it started right there. You know, a lot of kids, when we're young like that and they're playing those hymns, we go, oh, Lord, they're going to make us do that. They're going to make us sing that. But those hymns, you laughing. I know you went there, too.
Oh, of course I went there. But, you know, growing up, I understood it to be the foundation of what, you know, gospel music was. And it's not just the hymn. There was backstory to a lot of these hymns that I found out later on of how they were birthed and everything.
Now, besides those hymns and playing in the church, were you allowed, you're a Kojic kid, so were you allowed to listen to other forms of music, or were you just Kojic kid and didn't listen to anything other than what was coming out of the church?
Oh, no, I was never allowed to listen to anything else, but of course I did. So, I mean, I had, you know, little boombox in my room, so I go out and get cassette tape, so I would record stuff off the radio. You know, back in the day, you could record music off of, you know, off the stations and everything. So, of course, growing up in, you know, it was a strict home. You know, my dad laid down the law, but I was able to sneak in, you know, some Stevie Wonder and, you know, some Aretha Franklin and some Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson every now and then.
Okay, now what were some of your influences then? Were these some of your influences, the ones that you just mentioned?
A lot of them were my influences, but what mainly influenced me, there's a story to this too. An artist by the name of Bruce Hornsby. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's the one that wrote the song "That's Just the Way It Is."
Yeah, know who he is, yeah.
Yeah, so short story, when I was in seventh grade, of course my teachers in school, they all knew that I, you know, played the piano and everything. So my seventh grade teacher gave me this album, and it was Bruce Hornsby, and she told me to go home and learn number 7 and come back to school and play it after the weekend. So I went home, and I, you know, my mom and them, they had the old school, you know, TV with the record player inside of it. So the record on, and I went to number 7, and of course that was what that song was, and I fell in love with that ever since. He opened my ears to a whole nother, you know, sound. So came back to school and played that song, and that's, I have to, Bruce Hornsby is the main influence, but of course, you know, in church, you know, a guy named Ed Showers and Cornell Thigpen, those were a lot of my influence growing up in church. So, but overall, there's been a lot of influences that I kind of grew up to hear when I was growing up.
Now, I was reading too that, I don't know if that was the same teacher that in grade school that encouraged you and commented that your style was soft and a warm kind of sound. Was that the same teacher or was that a different teacher?
Yes, that was the same teacher. Her name was Miss Curry. I'll never forget.
Oh, that's right. Let's not forget our teachers. We have to, you know, we gotta give them their credit. And we appreciate teachers. At least I'm one of those folks that promotes and appreciates teachers. They have great influences over our lives.
Yeah, yes, they do. They do. They absolutely do. And I never forget, you know, things that they've taught and I've learned from them.
Now, what would you say in terms of learning and life lessons, what would you say is your greatest testimony that God has shown up and showed out in your life that you could share in hopes of inspiring someone else who might be listening to you and they are really encouraged by you and admire you?
Well, I haven't just played gospel, you know, up until this time. You know, I've been afforded to go through doors that the Lord has opened in the R&B industry also. I was overseas with Bishop Willie James Campbell. I was over in London when I got a call that R. Kelly was looking for me as a main keyboard player to do a tour with him. So I've been able to kind of shine my light in these arenas, you know, not just gospel, but R&B too, because, you know, I just don't want to be one-dimensional, but the Lord has been able to keep my character in different places that I go where, you know, that my demeanor and my testimony and my life doesn't change in any arena or any stage that I sit on. And I want to let everybody know that you can go into different arenas and still be the same and still be respected and shine a light.
That's right. Taking the Lord along with you and just being true to who you are in your faith and not hiding it, but just walking in it.
Yeah, I want to definitely walk in it because God has given me this gift, you know, not just for me, but, you know, I think it's for the world. You know, at first my dad always said that, you know, he prayed that gift on me for the church.
Whoa. I applaud your dad for encouraging that, knowing that, okay, I just can't hold my child in this one spot. He has a gift for the world and outside the four walls of the church that he can inspire, uplift, and encourage folks through his music. Now, I know you attended Northeastern Illinois University, and you wanted to become a dentist. So what happened to make you change course or direction in your life? And now you're this musician who is ministering to people's souls all over. But you were going to be fixing on people's teeth at first, weren't you?
I know. I don't know. That was just something that I had aspired to be. You know, of course, you know, you're going to college. You got to have these majors and minors. And of course, you know, I knew music, but I still wanted to have something to fall back on. But, you know, the doors kept opening, and, you know, I was making, you know, good money, you know, going out and playing for these different artists that, you know, I would probably maybe in a dentist. But, and the Lord has sustained me from that. You know, I've never worked a regular job, so that has been a blessing.
It is a blessing to be able to sustain yourself by using your gift, something that just naturally flows in and out of you. That is a gift and something to be really grateful for. Now,
yeah. And it's nothing like getting up and going out, doing what it is that you love to do, and then the Lord allows you to get, you know, compensated and rewarded for. That's like the greatest thing to me.
It is getting paid to do what you are good at. It doesn't feel like work. It's like, okay, I'm just living and I'm just following my course in life and my purpose and my direction. And it's so awesome to be able to make a living from it.
Yes, it is. And I thank God for it every day. I always have the saying that I thank God for the gift and the responsibility of the gift.
Amen. Amen. Now, talk to me about Percy Beatty and your encounter with him that changed, that also helped change a course in your life or took it to another level.
Percy Beatty is a big brother to me. He gave me my first opportunity to play on my first major gospel record, which was Marvin Sapp's Great Mercy album. So being allowed to sit amongst all of those was amazing in itself. I just got out of high school. And of course, I was paying my dues, Percy, and they had me driving back and forth from Chicago to Grand Rapids for rehearsals and everything. But to be able to sit on that stage, you know, with a lot of greats such as Percy Beatty, Richard Gibbs, Al Willis, Steve Huff, and Ray Beatty, and then, you know, being able to play behind Marvin Sapp, getting songs and instructions from Bishop Marvin Winans and Donnie McClurglin, you know, it was an amazing time for me.
And you were really young and doing all of this, but now I understand that you are Yolanda Adams' musical director. So how did this all come together?
I got that relationship also through Percy Beatty. You know, he was working on her her album, and I was able to play on that album. And Yolanda, we sparked a relationship from there. She loved the way I played. You know, I went out on a couple of her shows, and it's been there. I've been there ever since, over like almost 25 years I've been playing for Yolanda.
That is truly a blessing, working with Yolanda Adams. And then you all collaborated on a Tony Award-nominated song. What was that song from?
That song was from SpongeBob the Musical. It was a Broadway play out in New York, and they had approached Yolanda. Nickelodeon had approached Yolanda about doing a gospel song, and of course she called me. She sent me a voice note of the idea she had, and I put some music to her, and I sent it back to her. She loved it. She sent it to Nickelodeon, and they loved it, and it was a hit, and we were able to get nominated. You know, I don't know nothing about the Tony Awards. You know, I always hear about Stellas, you know, the Grammys and all of that, but to be nominated for a Tony Award was something new for me. So I was very excited and honored for that. And I appreciate her even allowing me to be a part of that. You know, a lot of artists don't share that spotlight. You know, they feel like, okay, well, I'm the artist. You know, they called me for the song. But, you know, immediately she tells me from day one, you know, I'm a part of everything that she has, you know, is being involved in. And I thank God for her. You know, she's always been a big sister to me.
Yeah, I love, love, love Yolanda. We've known each other for a very long time, and we don't see each other that often now. But when I do, she'll say, girl, what you working on? What you doing? You know what I'm saying? Girl! I remember one time, well, I lived in L.A., and we used to see each other out in L.A. all the time. And then I moved back to the Midwest, and she was talking about getting think that was like when, I think she had gotten married or something. I said, girl, when you get married, she said, you could too if you had to get out of L.A. quicker.
Oh, wow.
Wow. She's funny. She's funny. She really is. So let's go into your album, Him and I. And then you have the single, He's a Wonder. Now, why did you choose to do an album of hymns and then call it Him and I? I know early on we just talked about us being in the church growing up, you know, young ones, and going, oh, God, they're making us sing them hymns. And here you go right. Doing an album of hymns.
Well, I've been an advocate of hymns from day one. I loved him. I actually never met any of the singers with the exception of one, but a lot of the artists that I've worked with that are on this project are singers from Instagram videos that they put up. You know, they posted a cappella videos on social media, and I loved it, and I grabbed them, and I put piano behind it. So that's how that grew. I've been trying to put this out for the past couple of years. My friend, big brother, Steve Bracey, who was Yolanda Adams' road manager, kind of gave me the whole idea, you know, of Him and I. So, you know, it kind of felt good, you know, saying it. So I was like, well, let's try to do something with it. So this was a project in the making of about like 2 or 3 years, and I was able to put it out. I called each and every one of the singers on it, and I explained to them what it is that I was doing, and everybody was happy to be a part, which made me happy because, you know, it wasn't that they had to do any work because I already had everything done. It's just a matter of me just mixing it and mastering it and putting it out. So everybody was excited, you know. Daniel Winans is featured on He's a Wonder in My Soul. I talked to him, and he was excited about it. And, you know, everybody gave me their permission to use their likeness and their voice on this album. And I'm grateful of it.
That is amazing that you were able to do that, like pulling their voices off of audio that they did on Instagram and on social media. That is what I call really being innovative and creative, especially during this pandemic. You've done some wonderful things with this music during the pandemic.
During the pandemic, right. Nobody had to fly nowhere. I didn't have to have any contact with anybody. Everybody was safe and social distance and everything. So it worked out amazingly great. I thank God for it.
Well, from what I've listened to, it is like it is an amazing grace or soul-saving entity all into itself. Now, tell me something about the different hymns that are on there and which ones are a favorite, or are you going to say, like, all of them are my favorites?
Well, all of them are actually my favorite. And it's so funny because me and my wife, we were kind of debating on which ones we were going to put on there because I have literally over almost 100 like hymns that I've recorded.
Oh, amazing.
You know,
wow.
That I've grabbed from off of social media. The ones on the project, you know, I got my favorite one is, of course, one of my favorites is the one with my mom. So, of course, I'm able to play for my mom at any given time on any Sunday, but she blessed the album with the song I Must Tell Jesus. So that's definitely one of my favorite ones. And of course, you got Tis So Sweet, and that's featuring a young lady called, her name is Chelsea Callens, and there's one called Daily I Shall Worship Thee. That's featuring Ron Poindexter, and that song was actually written by a friend of mine that I had just met, Arnell Lomax. So it's amazing how this all came together, the whole collaboration of this project. But every hymn on this project, every song, there's a message, and it speaks to everybody in any type of situation. So, you know, I hope it blesses everyone like it blesses me.
All right, then. So what is your ultimate hope for this album as it goes out into the marketplace or the international marketplace? Because we're in a digital world now, so it just goes global.
Well, that people would listen to it and they would be blessed by it, you know, and that they you know, share it. And they hopefully look forward to Volume 2, which I think is going to be even more amazing because Volume 2 is going to feature a lot of the artists that I have relationship with, you know, in the industry. I'm not going to throw out any names. Be looking out. Volume 2 is going to be amazing. And it's not going to be anything from off of social media. The hymns that I'm preparing for Volume 2 are going to be creatively and made from scratch and everything. So.
Oh, amazing, amazing. So it's Him and I, Volume 1 by Rodney East, and it's available on all digital platforms, including, iTunes, Tidal.
Yeah, Tidal, Amazon. It's all over, yeah. They can find it on YouTube and everything, so everywhere. everywhere.
So it's all over, y'all. And as we said before, it's everywhere. So you can pick it up. So thank you, Brother Rodney East. How can they find you on social media?
You can find me on social media on Instagram at Rodney.East. You can find me on Facebook, Rodney East. You can find me on YouTube, Rodney East. And those are my platforms that I'm on right now.
All right, then. Well, thank you so much, Brother Rodney East, musician extraordinaire, Him and I, Volume 1. Him and I, Volume 2, will be coming down the road. We thank you for the conversation today, brother, and I appreciate you.
I greatly appreciate you, man.
And thank you, audience, for joining us today. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button right now so that you never miss an episode of this uplifting podcast. You're also welcome to donate by hitting the donate button. Now, to reach me, you want to connect, you can find me on Twitter. That's at LINWOODS, Lynn Woods, or Instagram at LynnWoods96. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. And Rodney East is going to take us on out today with He's a Wonder. Oh, yes, he is, in my soul. I'm Lynn. God bless.
He's a wonder in my soul. He's a wonder in my soul. He's a wonder in my soul. Let's bless his name. He's a wonder in my soul. He's a wonder in my soul. He's a wonder in my soul. Bless his name.